Thank you to Jackie for our reading and to Andrew for leading us in our prayers of intercession. Let's come now to reflect upon the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you. We come before your Word. Lord, we ask that you would continue to speak to us through it, through your living Word. Lord, that we may take it on board, that we may respond to it, that we may seek with your help and your equipping to live it out. Not that we would be glorified, but that you would be glorified. And Lord, we ask all these things in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder how many of you have seen this picture or a video version of this picture that's on the screen now. For those of you just listening to it, then this is a picture of a man diving into the snow. You might think that's quite unusual, but again, if you can't see the picture, the more unusual thing is all he's wearing is his boxer shorts. And rightly, I think all of us were going to go, why? Why on earth would you do this? And if you've seen the news article, I think it's on the BBC website, I'm sure it's on YouTube and all that sort of thing as well, you will know the reason he did it was to fulfil a promise. To fulfil a promise. He basically promised he's a weather presenter in one of the regions in the UK, and he promised, I don't know if it was live on air, but certainly he made the promise, that if the snowfall, I think it was last week or the week before, reached a certain level, he would dive into the snow wearing just his boxer shorts. I don't quite know why he did that, whether he kind of doubted, whether he'd been challenged about it, whatever it was, but he made that promise. And as the snow got deeper and deeper and deeper, he realised he needed to follow through and keep that promise. Of course, he could have backed out, couldn't he? But having made that promise, he felt duty obliged to fulfil it. And if you've seen the video, you can hear his family laughing in the background as you see him go through and keep that promise. I guess all of us at times will have made all kinds of promises, won't we? Big promises, little promises, daily promises, maybe promises that a daft promises like that one, diving into the snow. You know, you hear people say, well, if that happens, then I'll eat my hat. Or there's been all kinds of things, hasn't there, in the media over the years about people making all kinds of different promises that they've need to follow through. And it's part of life, isn't it? Part of life. It's at those key moments in life, starting a new job, getting married, having children, all kinds of becoming part of a church family. We make those big and important promises, don't we? We make everyday promises. We're asked to do a job. So, oh, yeah, I promise to do that. I'll get around. I'll do it in a minute. We make those promises, don't we? And I guess maybe sometimes we have made a promise like the guy in the video that actually when it's come to fulfilling it, we've kind of regretted it. Perhaps we made a kind of rash promise and we've not been able to follow it through. Or it's meant doing something that actually in the end, we really didn't feel we had the time, the energy or the resources to do it. I guess also at times we've failed to keep promises, haven't we? And sometimes that's through our own fault, just not following through, not just doing what we promised. Sometimes actually circumstances have changed to such a degree we can no longer keep those promises. In our reading this morning, we come across the disciple Peter, who makes this promise to Jesus: I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. And in the reading, we not only hear Peter make that promise, we see and hear, don't we, the response that Jesus makes. And I'm guessing, it's a good educated guess, that Jesus' response was not the response that Peter wanted. And I wonder if we can relate to Peter in any way. Maybe we've made a promise to somebody and they've kind of gone, oh yeah, or roll their eyes, or say, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, kind of response. Well, you know, for most of us that hurts a bit, doesn't it? For Peter, he has made this promise to Jesus, to his Lord. And Jesus says, doesn't he, responds to that and basically says, you're not going to be able to make and keep that promise. Verse 38, we hear it, don't we? Peter says, I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. Before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. Jesus' response to him was not based on some guess. Jesus knew this was going to happen. Jesus knew that in the coming days, hours, this was going to happen. Peter was going to deny him, not once, but 3 times. To kind of understand what's going on here, to understand in what context Peter made his promises, let's return to the reading we had this morning. And let's hear the conversation that's going on. Jesus says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus is effectively saying, for me, Peter, you can't follow me. You can't follow through on that promise as well to lay down your life for me. That's not going to happen. Not now, but I believe he says, but it will later. There is obviously a problem preventing Peter from being able to do what he was trying to promise to do. And for me, that's certainly going to be something that needs to happen in Peter's life. Because we see, don't we, that he's not able to fulfill it, that he does deny Jesus, that he doesn't lay down his life. As the story unfolds, don't we? You can read kind of full account of that in John chapter 18. But for me, actually, the problem also involves, for it to be solved, the solution rests with Jesus. Jesus needs to do something in order to enable Peter to be able to see that transformation in his life so that he can follow through with God's help on keeping his promise. And this thing that Jesus needs to do, we see, don't we? And we're reflecting upon during this time of Lent. That what Jesus does is he goes to the cross. That he gives his life. He lays down his life for Peter, for all the disciples, for you and me, for all who would believe in his name. In order that there might be forgiveness, in order that there may be a new relationship for us with God. He rises again to show that he's had victory over death. And actually it's the death and resurrection of Jesus that enables us to follow him, that enables us to be able to lay down our lives for Jesus. It is clear, isn't it, from, if you think back to what we were looking at last week, it is very clear that Jesus wants those who seek to follow him to lay down our lives for him. And to show that as we love God, but also, as we've been reminded again in the reading this morning, as we love one another. And it's important to note, isn't it, that Peter makes this promise, and we find that in John chapter 13. The passage we looked at last week is actually two chapters on, John 15, and Jesus says that if we're to follow him, if we're to show that love, then we are to lay down our lives. He says, doesn't he, that he gives that instruction that we should lay down our lives for our friends. Jesus laid down his life for us, we're to lay down our life for him, and we're to show that in the way that we live with one another. So we see that, don't we, that Peter makes that promise. Jesus doesn't say, I don't want you to keep that promise, but actually we can't keep it without Jesus. We can't keep it without Jesus laying down his life first for us. We can't keep it without God's help in and through our life. If we are followers of Jesus, if we're to take upon ourselves the name Christian, then we will have made, at some point in our lives, that promise to Jesus that we would lay down our lives for him. Expressed so powerfully, isn't it, in the waters of the baptism, where we declare God is our Saviour, but he's also our Lord. We lay down our lives for him. And actually, all of us will know, but in reality, that laying down of our lives is a daily act. As we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. As we daily take up our cross to follow him. And we know, like Peter, that we've often failed to keep that promise. We've stuffed things up. For all kinds of things. We fail to keep the promises we make to God. And I believe as the passage continues into chapter 14, as Jesus speaks to the disciples, he speaks to Peter, he speaks to all who would seek to be disciples, he speaks to you and me in these words from John chapter 14. As we reflect upon that truth that we make promises that we fail to keep. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Powerful words. And powerful because we know that Jesus will always keep his promises. If you're not familiar with how the story unfolds. From this encounter, we know we go through, don't we, a period of time, and Jesus is arrested, he is taken, and he is heading towards his death on the cross. And in amongst all that, we witness, don't we, that Peter does indeed, he is challenged about his relationship with Jesus. You know him, you're one with him, you're one of his followers. And three times Peter denies that. And then the cock crows. Jesus then goes to the cross. He dies that death. He is risen again on the third day. And then the story continues in John's Gospel. We see another conversation between Jesus and Peter. And through this, Peter is restored in his relationship with Jesus. He is, I believe, forgiven. And in amongst all that, I believe that part of what's going on is that promise that Peter wanted to make but was unable to keep is also renewed, restored, made afresh. At that last bit of John's Gospel, we see this conversation. And at the heart of the conversation, Jesus is challenging Peter. He is checking with Peter where they're at in our relationship, and he says to him, do you love me? And this is a repeated thing, isn't it? He does this three times. And the connection is obvious, isn't it? Three times Peter denied Jesus, three times Jesus brings Peter to a place of being forgiven and restored. But the conversation ends simply with these words when Jesus says to him, follow me. Follow me. Remember back to our reading, you're not able to follow me now, you're not able to lay down your life now, but you will follow me, you will lay down your life. Jesus does this for Peter. Jesus wants to do this for you and for me. And we can come to God, can't we, as regularly as we need to. God knows that we're going to get things wrong. God knows that we're going to need to be forgiven, restored, helped by him. But I guess it's particularly true when we gather around the Lord's table and we share bread and wine together. And of course all these events happen in and around the Last Supper. And we think, don't we, when we come, and part of us coming to the table is that we seek God's forgiveness. And we're reminded of why God can forgive us through the death of Jesus and through his resurrection. However, that encounter we can have with Jesus around his table at any time we would come before him and confess our need for his forgiveness. It's not just about God forgiving. It is about that. It's not just about God saying, here's another chance, here's another opportunity to keep that promise. It's about acknowledging and receiving God's help. Elsewhere in John's Gospel, we find this, all part of what is going on at the time. In John 16, verse 7, it says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But God not only forgives us, God not only gives us another opportunity to keep that promise, but he sends his Holy Spirit to help us, to equip us in following him, in laying down our life for him. God's word and early church history tells us what happened next. For Peter. It tells us that he did indeed lay down his life for Jesus, both in the death that he would ultimately die as a martyr for Jesus, but also in the way that he lived his life. And I don't believe that Peter ever truly regretted that promise that he made to Jesus, because I believe Peter knew the truth of the words that we looked at briefly last week. When we are reminded that Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. And the verse goes on to say, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Jesus promised to all those who would come and lay down their life is that we would find life in all its fullness. Life as it's meant to live. Not an easy life, but the life that God would want us to live. And for me, that's something that is important to reflect upon. That is something that I believe we can reflect on any time, but particularly during the season of Lent, we reflect upon these words. We think about Jesus. We focus upon the cross. We do indeed ask for forgiveness. We will during this time come to God and make fresh promises to him. We will renew that promise to follow him and lay down our lives. We will make all kinds of promises. We will make those big promises about we'll lay down our whole lives. We'll make the little everyday promises of what we believe God wants us to do. And I believe that includes those promises that we genuinely make to one another. Because for me, as followers of Jesus, we make those our followers of Jesus in the presence of God. And God wants us to help us to fulfil all those things too. It's definitely a focus, isn't it, as we come to communion. As we remember that Jesus said that actually it's he needs to lay down his life in order that we might respond to that and lay down our lives for him. And for me, that's certainly a focus, a part of what communion is all about. Something we will share together in a few moments. To prepare us for that, we will have a song. And that song will lead us into that opportunity to come before God, to share bread and wine together, to reflect upon Jesus laying down his life for us, to reflect upon whether for the first time or the umpteenth time we want to make that promise to God that we would lay down our lives for him. Before we move into that time of communion, I thought we would let and listen to the words of Peter himself. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Listen to these words. Listen to this man who did fail to keep his promise to Jesus. But that promise was renewed, and with God's help, he was able to fulfill those promises. Peter says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Amen. Amen.